good morning, boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages, and all the other stuff I would normally say that I just don't feel like saying today. A lot going on at Fish and Frank's. Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me today. Catch up in the area fishing report. It's been one of those kind of... We got the roping up in Fort Myers. We got a store opening up down there. Let's see, I think I got the thing right here. Yeah. It'll be at 41531 North Cleveland Avenue, North Fort Myers, 33903. That's 41531 North Cleveland Avenue. Otherwise, more easily found right next to Northern Tool in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership there. Be a week or two, I'd say a couple weeks before we get open. We're going to try and be actually able to sell stuff by October 1st.
October 1st is only a week away.
Yeah, but we're going to try. I'm not saying we're going to do it, but we're going to try.
Okay.
You know, we get next week to haul stuff down.
Yep.
So one of the things about it... one of the big things is getting all the stuff down there. It's
getting it down there and getting it organized.
Yeah. So tentative, penciled in date of you know, being able to actually, you know, work with customers is hopefully by the beginning of October. Not saying it's going to happen, you know, because it was supposed to be what, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So yeah. Right on track.
September 1st, somewhere around there.
Yep, so we're right on track. But what we are going to do down there is the only reason, you know, yes, we have great prices and all that kind of stuff, but most of the reason people come here is because they know some of the people and they get to form a relationship with somebody. So you're going to have Andrew on Tuesday, you're going to have Mike on Wednesday, Vinny on Thursday, Robert and Pegleg Steve on Friday, Jeff on Saturday, Kale on Sunday, and we're still waiting to find out who's going to do Monday, although I think Kale might be doing Monday or Sunday, we don't know which, but whatever day you're going on there, you're going to be able to meet a different one of the pirate crew every day, so you'll get to know when, you know, the guy you like to deal with will be there. And I'm going to be doing fill-ins here and fill-ins there. And
you're going to be stretched really thin at both ends.
Yeah, well, you know, I do best when it's monkey in the middle, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
You like that tightrope act?
Mm-hmm. Fishing report time. Got my caffeine and all the other substances needed for life. So... starting up on the Peace River, what's going on the Peace River?
Gar, Mayan cichlids. That's been pretty quiet up there. I'm hearing a few reports right there by Shell Creek on some small snook, even a couple legal-sized ones. And then there's been the oddball redfish up there. But relatively speaking, that river still flowing from best I can gather from the amount of dark water that is still pouring down. We should start to see it slow down over the next couple weeks because our rains are starting to subside. We're in that time of year where all of our afternoon thunderstorms are going to be less and less, and they'll be less violent. They'll be much smaller and very much scattered. So that's going to be real good for the fishing overall.
Well, while you're talking, I was trying to get my computer to act as a computer. It's getting old, and God, I don't want to do Windows 10.
Yeah.
Although it's not near as bad as Windows 8, but it's not as good as 7. Let's see. Peace River. FishandFranks.com. Weather and Tides icon, the one that looks like a lightning bolt. And then at the bottom of that page, click the Peace River button. And come on, what's wrong with you? Like I say, trying to get my computer to act like a computer so we can get the water flow out of the Peace River. That was, Robert just brought it up.
Not working too well, huh?
Not going very well. Oh, there it comes. All right. We have, let's see, in 1947, there was 23,600 cubic feet a second coming down the Peace River. And right now, there is 1,520 cubic feet on the approximate Arcadia. Right now a second. So, but man, 1947, 23.
What's the height at?
Beginning of the week, it was at 9.5, and we are down to about 6 foot.
Nice. So dropping quickly.
Yeah, she's going down. Had a little bit of level off a couple days ago, but she's on a steady decline, almost a foot a day right now.
Nice. So
that's a good thing. That means the harbor should be clearing up, cleaning up very, very soon. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I'd like to go out and actually see the bottom for a while there.
Yeah. Well, and it gets the fish to move around a little bit more, gets them to start to move up this direction. It's all that typical fall changing of the season. We don't get to watch leaves change, but we get to watch fish change.
Yeah, different types of fish, different times of the year. All right, down to the 41 Bridge. What's going on down there?
Between the 41 Bridge and 75 Bridge, there's been a lot of juvenile tarpon. They seem to be more heavily concentrated at the 41 Bridge, but they're kind of peppered throughout that whole area. And then still getting a few reports.
Okay, what are they catching? What are they doing? They seeing the tarpon, or is anybody catching any?
A handful of guys are catching them. Most of them are just seeing them. The ones that are catching them on small, how am I doing? Little swim baits, little paddle tails.
Like the storm swim shads or the DOA cow shad?
Yeah, the DOA cow shad's been working really good. The storms have been working, obviously, but there was a guy in here the other day. Which one was it? It was the near lure Little John, that little dart turd looking thing.
Yeah.
And he was cleaning house on them, little 10 to 15 pounders. He was doing really good on those. But there's been some 50 pounders down there, so there's been kind of a mixed size range. Still getting a few reports of the redfish too, but they're starting to thin out up there. That's always that short-lived period where the redfish dump in around those power lines and the north end of the bridge pretty heavy, but getting fewer and fewer reports each week. You know, kind of typical. Haven't had much for reports for snook. It's been pretty quiet for those guys, but you know, the tarpon activity in the mornings have been really good as long as you got some good moving water.
All right, jumping across to Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier getting a couple of reports of some small undersized snook. I've heard of two legal fish caught off of there. And I've also had a couple guys actually pick up some whiting in the evenings. Haven't heard so much during the daytime. I think it's just too fresh right now.
I'd say pretty fresh and pretty hot.
Yeah.
Bayshore Pier. Anything going on over by there?
I have not heard anything at Bayshore Pier this past week. A couple guys have gone, but no feedback.
All right. Canals over on the Port Charlotte side. Anything going on over there?
Getting some pretty good reports, actually, on those. Chuck Hepp was in the other day. He caught a bunch of small black drum in that, you know, 18 to 26-inch range. Getting some other reports from some other people on the black drum. Had some scattered reports of a sand bream. And then obviously a lot of little peanut snook with guys coming in and out of the canals as they're going out. They're kind of trolling along, hoping for something and getting them. But overall, it's kind of gotten a little quieter. I haven't heard much for the tarpon over in Spring Lake or Edgewater Lake, but I'm sure they're there. I think guys are just kind of bypassing them lately because it's kind of something old.
Gotcha. Yeah. Is that kind of a, like, anything in Alligator Bay? Just in a side thought?
I haven't heard of anything over there. You know,
All right. Well, then what about jumping over to the Maraca Cutoff or something in there?
Out in front between, what is that, Rock Creek?
Yeah, Rocky Creek.
Between Rock Creek and basically the Maraca Cutoff, there's been some redfish along that shoreline that some guys have been getting into and even seeing in small little schools. There's been a few ladyfish, not enough to get super excited about, but there is some there to try to get for some bait. And once you go right into the mouth of the Maraca there, a couple guys have been getting some small trout, and as they're working up into the cutoff there, they're getting some redfish. and some snook, but most of the snook have been undersized in there. Been an occasional stud, but kind of quiet in there. I think it's like you said, you know, warm and lots of fresh water pouring through there. So plus we're just coming off of that really super bright full moon. A lot of those fish were feeding all through the night, so a lot of guys were frustrated this past week with some of the morning fishing with, you know, they like to get up early to try to beat the heat and the storms and everything, but that full moon tends to mess it up a little bit.
Okay. Elgibine, what's going on at the pier over at Elgibine?
Elgibine, at night, there's been quite a few snook there, but most of them have been slightly undersized. They've been getting a few bigger mangrove snapper off there in the evenings and into the nighttime. And then during the daytime, the tarpon started to move in the last several days all around the bridge. And those fish are assorted sizes from 30 pounds to 130 pounds. And they're right there mostly by the bridge, but they're scattered all the way down throughout the whole Myakka there. You know, it just depends on the tide a little bit. I think they're bottlenecking up in there on those really strong tides and then scattering out as that tide goes slack. And that customer I was talking to yesterday with his wife, he was super excited because now she's addicted to catching tarpon because she caught her very first tarpon yesterday up there on a topwater. Even wow. So she was super stoked. They said it was about a 40-50 pounder.
Yeah, well, that's...
And she's now addicted. She's like, that's just awesome.
You know, it's funny how in people, they associate sports with certain things. Like, okay, one of the comments we had about, you know, people have come in and saw the store and, you know, what we're doing to it because it's quite impactful. Now, if you're a regular Fish and Frank's customer, you're not going to go down there and find new products right now. Right. What we're doing is just taking our inventory and replicating it down there. Same prices, same, you know, stock, same merchandise. And as time goes by next year, that store will probably have quite a bit different inventory than what we carry here, depending upon what the people in Fort Myers want or need. As they come in, they say, hey, you guys got this, we're going to write it down, and we'll stock it for people. That's how we built our inventory here, was just by customer request or new product. So, you know, I don't really know, you know, if you're in Port Charlotte, I don't think there's any reason to run down there and look at the store, although I'm very proud of it. It's a very nice version of this one. But, you know, it's going to be kind of neat to see what the people in Fort Myers like to fish with, what brands, what types, you know, is it the same lures, or is it going to be a radical change to everything? And I think the funniest comment was a couple came in, a husband and wife, and she said, oh, wow, what a man cave. And, you know, which is very, very cool, and we appreciate that. But what's weird at this store is I don't think an hour goes by without a woman coming in to buy bait or tackle or something, or the kids or whatever.
Right. And buying it for herself, no less. Not buying it for her husband.
She's the one doing the fishing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, dozens upon dozens of couples who come in where the husband, he kind of drives the boat and goes around, but she's the one doing the fishing.
Yeah.
And he just relaxes.
It surprises me when you got the guy that says, I'm not a big fisherman, but boy, she loves it. So yeah. I just kind of drive the boat and she fishes.
Yeah, I mean.
And it kind of catches you off guard because the stereotype over the years has been
really
the woman would go catch the sun and read a book and help with the boat every now and then. But now it's amazing how much the roles have kind of switched a little bit, and it's pretty awesome.
I don't know if there was a full switch, but it was, I think, adding to the roles of the anglers,
yeah,
I think, was the biggest thing that kind of surprised me, was that how many of, when you have a family, how many times it's the mother, the wife, that is the one that's into fishing.
Yeah.
Now, it could be a lot of reasons. Maybe the husband just doesn't like it. Maybe he works a lot, you know, for whatever. But the amount of women going fishing around here, I think, is probably a higher percentage than anywhere in the country. I would say this Southwest Florida area, because you know, I've been in tackle shops around the country and fished a lot of the U.S. and a lot of Europe and Central America, and you almost never see women fishing there. But down here, it's unbelievably common. You know, it's just we don't even notice it anymore.
Right.
And it wasn't until that woman telling me, "Hey, you know, this is a great man cave," and I'm thinking to myself, "Man, I'm so used to." Men, women, children, everybody fishing, that I never thought of it as the man cave. I didn't realize I'd built a man cave. So anyway, that was my boring little thing on there. But it really is true how many women fish and really just end up loving it.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
South Gulf Cove, which is just off the Myakka. That's the way you get in and out of it. That's why we've got it over here. What's going on over there? Anything?
I have not heard of anything the last week, and I think that's primarily due to there's been a lot of guys over there alligator hunting at night, you know, so running their airboats and making people crazy over there. That's about the only thing I've heard about.
The only thing I've heard about is a couple of redfish over by the locks. Now, unfortunately, boys and girls, I don't know if they were inside of the locks or outside the lock.
Right.
They didn't get that specific. They just said they were fishing over by the locks. So, anyway, one way or the other, either inside or outside.
Right.
So, let's continue our walk down the West Wall.
The West Wall's been scattered, but doing better each day, getting mixed reports of getting a little better. From the radio tower south, along the bushes, they're catching a good assortment of snook, mostly peanuts, small guys, but a few legal fish. The redfish have been really starting to get better numbers and a little bit better quality all along the shoreline mostly. There has been one school of redfish hanging out, moving from Cape Hayes to a little bit further north in the radio tower, but they're moving back and forth, and one day it's 20 fish, and the next day it's 75 fish, next day it's 10 fish. They're kind of breaking up or regrouping. I'm not really sure what's going on, but keep your eye out for those big pushes, like a push of mullet kind of out in that shallower flat area.
Okay. Let's see. I've got to type for a second here.
No problem.
Anything else going on top of the bar?
There's been a few bonnet hens and a couple oddball trout. I haven't heard of any pompano, which a couple weeks ago we had a couple scattered reports of them, but nothing super duper. But I think that's going to start to get really exciting over the next couple weeks as that water temperature starts to just slightly drop a little bit, but your salinity is going to come up, and that's usually what gets those pompano fired up over there on that west wall. So it should kind of get exciting.
Okay, I appreciate the filler there. Cape Hayes, around that area, Muddy Bay.
Haven't heard much in Muddy Bay. I'm sure there's, with all the redfish that are kind of popping up on the west wall and that whole area down there, there's probably some good redfish in there. I just haven't heard of any.
You and I got to get down there one day and go back up through. And
we just need to go fishing.
When you go in, I like going right into Muddy Bay, and I fish that right-hand shoreline. There's a real nice trough right there against that right-hand shoreline just as you get around the corner. But as you work your way up, there's kind of a narrow stretch of creek, whatever it is, between a couple of lakes in there, and that historically has been a really good place for snook.
Right.
Now, occasionally the redfish will move into that hole, but either way, I mean, it's still, you know, what you're looking for. One thing I want to find out about, and I haven't been there, obviously, in the last 2-3 years, is when you come around Cape Hayes on the inside, between the sandbar and the shoreline, mm-hmm. you're going down, just as you get past those little sandy beaches, there's a cut that goes in. It actually goes back to like a little tidal lake back there. But in that cut, as I went in, there used to be a little, like, I don't know, a little bay niche and notch in the left-hand side where you were coming up, then it just kind of went in, just formed a little tiny bay there. It used to really hold a lot of redfish. I mean, a lot of them.
Right.
And I would see guys fishing up in there and fishing the mouth, and I was one of the few boats, you know, fishing that. And I wouldn't say it's spectacular fishing, but when I'd be doing a charter, I knew I could probably pull in there and get, you know, 1, 2, 3 redfish out of it within a reasonable amount of time. You know, kind of boost the numbers for the day.
Are you talking about the spot that's right before the entrance of Turtle Bay where you make the right hand turn basically with the white sticks, you make the right and follow that back in there?
No, it's just before that.
So it's on the outside right there.
Yeah, it's still on the outside. At least I think. My brain is so shot. Who knows where it is?
Okay.
But it's in that area. It's between Cape Hayes Point and Turtle Bay, and you go up inside there, and there it goes up into a lake up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same place, I guess.
Yeah.
I think there's only one. You turn in the wrong one, you really... Yeah. You did something cool because...
Should have made a left-hand turn at Albuquerque.
Yeah. I don't know where you are, but you're not there. So anyway, what are we talking about with Cape Hayes? Anything out on the sandbar?
Cape Hayes on the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes, basically a deeper trough there. Some good bonnet head, been some flounder hanging out along the drop-off there. Been some good-sized Spanish mackerel, especially on the incoming tide, hanging out along that whole edge. Been a couple of trout and an oddball mangrove snapper, but overall on top of the bar itself, it's mainly been pinfish and little dinky trout.
Gotcha. All right. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, anything up in there?
Turtle Bay, I'm getting the best reports. Or I'm sorry, Bull Bay, I'm getting the best reports. Turtle Bay's been weird. I don't know why, but inside Bull Bay, from the main entrance, making that left along that deep trough there that follows that shoreline. What's right. backside of Cayo Palau, basically. Yep. Been a lot of redfish and snook cruising in and out of that whole shoreline there. And as you work your way straight into the back of Bull Bay, where there's a couple of those boat houses, houseboat things back there in that back area, there's been a lot of redfish scattered throughout there. And I've been hearing of a couple of small schools kind of scattered throughout the whole Bull Bay area, but it seems like the better redfish get more consistent as you work your way out the backside heading towards Whidden Bay.
Gotcha. All right. Cape Hayes Reef, anything over there?
Just some big Spanish mackerel and an occasional small Atlantic sharp nose or bonnet head. It's been relatively quiet on that reef right now. I think that's going to change, though. You know, like I said, over the next few weeks it should get lit up pretty good.
Yeah, we were seeing when I was out there about a week ago, you could see the water was better after you went around Cape Hayes.
Right.
It wasn't as brown, it was more of a mixed blue type thing. So yeah. It's getting better out there.
Absolutely.
Let's see, Gasparilla Sound,
Placida, all that stretch.
No,
there.
Gasparilla Sound from Devilfish up towards Placida.
Gotcha. Out there on the flats, the redfish have been starting to move around, especially around the clam fields and sandfly. And what's that? I never know what to call that island where the white pelicans always hang out, so we'll just call it the White Pelican Island. That whole kind of triangular area has been holding some good, big, oversized redfish in the mornings and in the late afternoons. During the daytime, I don't know if they go out into the deeper water and disappear, but some of the guys have been pulling in some 35, 38-inch reds out there. You'd think they're trout fishing, but they're fishing for the big stud reds.
Wow. Okay. Anything over on the inside of Boca Grande, Gasparilla Island?
There's been a lot of little snook over there, and I've heard of a couple legal fish, you know, fishing some of those docks and those deeper channels going into the backside of those houses there, but nothing super consistent. I'm sure that there's probably a few oddball trout and redfish scattered around on those flats, but most of the guys have been running around down there looking for the big redfish or trying to find that one legal snook.
Okay, now that takes us up to Placida.
Placida's been about the most consistent place from shore where guys have been catching snook, and it's been mainly a nighttime bite. You know, coming off of that full moon, those fish were really super feeding heavy at night. But during the daytime, they've been getting a couple redfish, a couple oddball sharks. Not very many snapper, but what I've been hearing is those mangrove snapper have been like 15, 16, even a couple 17-inch mangrove snapper being caught right underneath the Placida Trestle for the land-based fishermen and for the boat-based fishermen. Fishing the old broken down part of the railroad trestle there have been cleaning house on some big mangrove snapper. Oh, that's kind of exciting when you get a guy coming and going, you know, I caught a 17-inch snapper, and you asked him how far offshore he was. He goes, no, I was fishing right at the trestle. And you're like, wow, hey, that's a good one.
Well, what are we doing Lemon Bay-wise?
Lemon Bay's got some really good red fishing going on right now. Basically starting from Eldred's, the marina basin there, all the way up towards Stump Pass. On the island side and the mainland side, under the docks, on the grass flats, they're kind of scattered all throughout there. And I've heard of several schools of bigger redfish. This whole week I've been hearing mixed reports of redfish dumping into the passes, so I think that's why I'm hearing such good reports along that whole intercoastal for some big fish. And most of the guys are catching them on cut pinfish, live pinfish. Several customers have come in and bought some frozen sardines, have been doing good on cut-up sardines. And then a handful of guys are, you know, the elitists where they're going to want to throw their artificials because they got to stick with it. But those guys have been doing best on, like, the soft plastics with some scent to it. The hard bait guys have been struggling.
Okay. Well, that's good need to know. If I was going to pick it, if I'm going redfish, I think it, for me, it would be a Little John with a little bit of scent on it. What do you think if the... Do you think the shrimp things like... that voodoo shrimp or the savage shrimp with a little bit of scent on it, do you think that would work on the redfish over there?
I think it would probably work pretty well.
I mean, I haven't tried it. I was just thinking, you know, I know redfish traditionally like, you know, shrimp. It's
right.
More of a favorite food. Oyster, insides, clams, shrimp, that's kind of up their alley.
Yeah, I would think that it would work pretty well. The guy, you know, there's been quite a few guys buying those different shrimp patterns lately, so I'm going to guess that, you know, it's a staple. I don't see how you could really go wrong.
Yeah.
If anything, you're going to have other fish for bycatch.
Yeah, I mean, something's going to eat it.
Yeah.
You know? But taking one of those fake shrimp, putting a little bit of scent on it, and then just trying that. I think it might be a good idea. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I'm kind of wondering. We got to get out and do some of this stuff. Englewood Pier, Tom Adams Bridge.
The Tom Adams Bridge, mostly what I've heard there has been in the evening and nighttime fishing for the snook. That's another one of those good land-based spots where guys have been catching some legal-sized snook. Whole lot of small guys coming off of there, but a handful of legal ones. And it's been varying from day to day, whether it's the incoming or the outgoing tide on that spot. Got that one officer, I can never remember his name, he fishes there all the time, and he said, one day it's the incoming tide, the next day it's the outgoing tide, and whacks them.
Yeah, I guess just keep giving it a try. If you don't succeed, get real mad, throw your stuff down, break it all, come in and buy all new stuff, and then go back out and try again.
There you go. Yeah. Nice, I like that.
Yeah, okay. let's see, going out into the Gulf of Mexico from here.
I want to be out there right now. You're talking about fishing all this stuff? Uh-uh. I want to be out there right now.
Okay.
Sure,
that makes it so very, very interesting for you out in the Gulf of Mexico.
From 3 miles to about 12 miles, there's Spanish mackerel, king mackerel, bonita blitzing on the surface. If you get into those bonita, there's been big bull reds mixed in with them in that 35 to 40 inch range, an oddball blackfin tuna. And, of course, a mixture of sharks of, you know, 8 foot down to the 3 foot size. It's been insane for the really close fishing. I mean, guys are just coming in with story after story of all these different things that they're getting out there. And the kings aren't giants, you know, but 10 to 15, 18 pound king mackerel, that's a blast. I mean, that's... You can use your snook and redfish tackle for that stuff, and all those fish for that matter, you can use your snook and redfish tackle. It's been crazy. And then further out, you know, for the guys that are more bottom fishing and grocery shopping, that 12 to 20 mile mark has been great for the mangrove snapper, lanes, a few porgies. Been getting a couple reports of not very many yellowtail, but they've been like 4 pound yellowtail. And then mostly red grouper out there in that 70 to 90 feet of water. Gag grouper have been really tough, except for a couple individuals that catch one here and one there of legal size. But the pelagic stuff that's going on out there is insane.
Cool. All right. Let's see. Anything in any of the passes?
Yeah. The redfish are moving in and out throughout the entire day and at night. Guys are catching them anchored up along the edges of the channels of the passes.
Okay.
You pick it. You pick the pass. Literally, Gasparilla Pass, Boca, and Captiva, and Redfish. I've been hearing killer reports on big redfish. And, like, in the last several days, like, schools, you know, 20, 50, 100, just groups of fish dumping into those passes lately. And then it's been kind of a mixed gamut with some snook, too, as bycatch. Some of those guys are anchored up and throwing out either a live pinfish or cut bait or whatever and picking up the incidental snook. So it's been pretty good. And then if you just want to stay close and not mess with those, the Spanish mackerel and an oddball king have been in Boca Grande and Captiva Pass. Heard of a couple right there at Gasparilla Pass, too, but they've been a little quieter up there for some reason. So... It's not bad.
Does Venice have the big redfish going through it as well?
I would imagine that they do. I just haven't heard of them this week. I mean, literally the last 2 days have been the reports that I've gotten from immediate around here. So I would think maybe after this weekend we'll probably hear, because Venice is usually a couple extra days for our customers.
All right. Yeah, we gotta, next year we hope to open something up closer to our Venice or Englewood customers. We're hoping next year. We're going to Fort Myers this year, and we're hoping either Englewood or Venice next year. That's going to be our goal, Englewood or Venice. You know.
Just what we need.
Yeah.
More irons in the fire.
Yeah, well.
That's all good.
Let's see if this one, works. If this one doesn't work, we ain't going anywhere. We're just closing that one down, coming back here. So,
right. You know, I mean, let's come back to where it's safe.
Yeah, you know. Okay, we went out to play in the big woods and got our ass kicked. Okay, we're going home.
Yeah, taking my ball and going home.
Yeah. Give me my Wooby. I want to go back home. So, but if it all works out right and that goes well, and people of, you know, North Fort Myers, Cape Coral, and all that, you know, show up and support the store, then, A, you know, we have to, if that works, we will find a place, you know, for us to sell bait in another location down there closer to the water somewhere. And then we're, at the same time, we'll be looking for places, you know, Englewood or Venice is where our next victims will be. If you're going to walk along the beach, kind of keeping your feet dry and casting out into the Gulf of Mexico, what would you expect to catch?
They've been getting a few flounder, a few big whiting, a lot of small snook with the occasional big snook, but that's been like first light or in the dark. And been getting a few incidental reports of some bonnet heads and Atlantic sharpnose. Yeah, it's been kind of a mixed gamut of stuff starting to happen out there. Every beach has been a little different because some of the tannic water, you know, the wife and I were out there last Saturday on Boca Grande, and it was pretty tan in water at 7th Street there, all the way down to Boca Grande Pass. But the water got a little bit clearer as you kind of worked your way a little bit north towards Little Gasparilla Pass. So I think it's going to vary depending on which beach you're fishing on how much fresh water is coming out of that particular area. But like you said, with the river earlier, it's starting to clear up. I'm sure it's gotten significantly clearer since Saturday.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go down in Sanibel Island. What's going on down by Sanibel?
The only thing I've heard about at Sanibel has been the causeway at night with the guys snook fishing and hooking a few oddball tarpon mixed in with them. Not hearing of much at Ponorasso or St. James City area, even though these redfish are starting to dump in hardcore through Captiva and Redfish Pass too. I would imagine they're going to be starting to pick up fish. I just haven't heard about those little haunts yet. Yeah, but should start to get good. I'd be looking for those schools of redfish.
Well, I can tell you, down around, if you're coming down the Matlachet side, and from, you know, Mount Lachey south towards St. James City on those flats down there, there's quite a few redfish. You get over right by Ding Darling, you know, the no motor, no wake zone. I'm hearing some reports of redfish just before you get into kind of the big weedy mess that's Ding Darling.
Yeah.
Not so much up in it. It's so choked up that it's, you know, you get some fish along the edges, but the more you get into it, the less you're going to find.
Right.
It's kind of a dead zone area down there. But goes back and forth depending upon the water flow, the height of tides. When we have real extreme tide changes, Ding Darling does pretty good. But those days where we get those little tiny tide changes, we're only getting like six inches in, that slows Ding Darling down by a lot because it's hard for them to get oxygen in that water down there.
Yeah, doesn't have the water flow that it needs.
No, it's just a bad place to have a no motor zone. It would be much more beneficial if Ding Darling allowed slow speed minimum wake to go through there. Let the boats go through idle speed with your outboard, and that prop's going to just kind of churn up. We used to take the rake to our yards, you know, to kind of clean them up and let the, you know, thatch them out. Yeah, so that's kind of what the outboards would do for Ding Darling. It would make it really good all year round fishing, just allowing people idle through there. You know, that's my opinion. They're going to spend all this money trying to, you know, research why everything bad's happening at Ding Darling, why there's not so many fish, why all this, why all that. For goodness sakes, just let some boats go through there for a while. Get rid of this stupid no motor thing and let the boats idle. Slow speed, shouldn't be running through there. It is supposed to be a sanctuary. But at idle speed, it would be very beneficial. More people have access to it. It would break up a lot of that noxious algae and stuff that's growing in there. It'd be very cool, you know. But who listens to me? What do I know? All right, Matt Lachey, I can tell you some decent redfish. What are you writing down?
A note for later.
What is it?
I'll tell you later.
Okay, state secrets. Shh. Don't worry. Somebody will hack your email and we'll find out about it anyway. Yeah. All right, Matt Lachey, I can tell you there's some decent redfish around there. It's snook underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
Carl
is going down there, I think, today to check out to see if those big schools of redfish moved in there that he's hearing about from moving in through those passes. He stopped in this morning. He was taking Peg Leg and his girlfriend out. They're going to go down there and scout around and show him some area, I guess. So I would think that those juvenile tarpon should still be hanging out by those Cape Coral canals, too, down that area. That's usually a pretty hot spot, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I've been taking, you know, captain's cards and all that kind of stuff, and we're going to be working very, very closely. Once the stores open, we will be on regular schedules, and we will be posting scheduled shows for radio fishing. They'll be on a regular timetable, so you'll know at this day, this time, there will be a show, you know, coming on the air, and we're going to work out ways of doing it so you can listen live or as you have been on the pre-recorded stuff. And but we're going to be doing, I think it's 4 shows a week. So that's going to come up as soon as the store's done. Right now, we're trying to get the schedule worked and having to leave and go down there and come back here and all the rest of this stuff. It's been a little bit of a trying to figure it out. A big helicopter going by. Sounds like a Huey, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like
that's
a Huey.
That's what I was trying to figure out for a second there. I was hearing it thump for a minute.
Yeah, that sounds like a Huey. Once you've been in a Huey, or, you know, and Robert and I both had the privilege of, when I was working for the federal government, of being able to go up and do surveys in a Huey and stuff like that. So
it was cool.
Yeah, they're
a little scary, but it was cool.
And I can tell you, you can ride in any kind of other helicopter, and then you get in a Huey, you will never forget the sound of a Huey. You'll never forget the ride in a Huey. Something, you know, it's that Vietnam-era helicopter that is, it's a beast. There's nothing else like a Huey.
And it's recognizable. I mean, there's so many other helicopters out there, but yet everybody knows a Huey.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I mean, you can put any other helicopter out there and people tell you that's a Huey either by the sound or just by the sight of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
But there, you can testify that just nothing like a Huey. Yeah. I mean, I've been in Rangers and all these other ones, but I can honestly tell you there's a warm place in my heart for some reason for that Huey. It's just such a beast.
Yeah.
All right. Pine Island Sound. What's going on over there?
Pine Island Sound getting a lot of good reports of redfish down there around all the islands, especially some of those deeper cuts underneath the mangroves. And then some good mixed reports of some schooling redfish out on some of those flats around all those islands, especially the little cut-throughs in between the big islands and little islands that are there Where they open up in those huge grass flats?
You know, just in one of my weirder moments, not that I don't have a lot of weirder moments, but it's, you know, if you would have told me in the 1980s, I would be doing all these reports on where the redfish are, and, you know, this is what we're doing to catch redfish, and all this about redfish, and all that about redfish, I would have looked at you like you had a third eye in your head. Literally no one fished for redfish.
No.
The first, I would say the first 10 years of me working in this store, all the way up to the middle of the 90s. By the middle of the 90s, people had kind of gotten into the redfish
thing. We're starting to get into it.
But it really, during the middle 80s, you know, the early 80s, all the way on up through to, you know, the beginning of the 90s, that's when I got into the business in the, you know, early middle 80s. No one talked about redfish ever.
Why do you want to catch a carp?
Yeah, it's a saltwater carp. It's not good for, it's trash fish. You know, they're not good for anything. They're just, you know, they're eating food that a better fish could eat, you know.
They're taking my snook food away.
Yeah, so it's I don't know. I'm sitting here and I was looking, and I haven't, like, put a lot of the stuff over to the log page yet. So I was looking at the thing, and I'm thinking, redfish, there's this, and how did that, and redfish, and I'm thinking to myself, this is so weird that now it's the number one talked about fish, redfish.
Yeah.
And it's just, I would have never dreamed it.
Well,
ever.
Those first couple years that you took me to the very first couple trade shows, the guys would look at our badges and go, oh, South Florida, this catches trout.
Yeah.
And then it was around 2000, 2002.
Oh, by the end of the 90s, yeah.
The guys would look at it and it was like, oh, this catches redfish. This catches redfish. You know, it's like, wow.
You know, I forgot about that at the shows. All them guys come up, and what Robert and I would do is we would write in different locations on our badges, or turn the badge around so they couldn't see it, because everybody at the trade shows would walk up, look at your chest, see what the badge said, where you were from, and then tell you what species of fish the lure would catch. And so we would get, because, you know, we knew some of the people, and we had them put different towns, different states on our stuff. And Robert would have, like, you know, Port Charlotte, Florida, and I would have, like, you know, Kansas City, Missouri. And, you know, if I walked up first, they'd be telling me, you know, what a great bass lure it is, or, you know, this. And then Robert walks up, they're starting to talk about trout, and, you know, it's just funny.
Yeah.
But these are the kind of things, and you ever wonder how we form our opinions, you know, about different stuff and a lot of what we tell you? It's because of our experiences at trade shows with guys trying to sell us this lure. And if they see your badges from one place, they tell you it catches this fish. If they see yours from another place, they tell you it catches that fish.
Yeah.
And that's what's helped shaped all our opinions, attitudes, how we've learned about stuff. Not only by doing it, but by seeing what the industry as a whole does.
Yeah.
Really weird. Okay.
Pretty funny.
Let's see. Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals.
Boquilla and Jug Creek Shoals have had a mixed gamut of stuff. There's been some good Spanish mackerel scattered around all there. A few miscellaneous sharks. Been hearing of some flounder scattered right there around Jug Creek Shoals and on those little sand patches. Redfish have been moving in and out of there, so it's kind of a good mixed gamut. I haven't heard much of bait. There's been some moving in and out of there, but those fish have really started to concentrate in that whole immediate area around Jug Creek Shoals. You know, all those little sandbars right there around Patricio, and that'd be a good area to concentrate, I guess, especially if you want kind of a good mixed variety of things.
I wish I could type and spell at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm going to try something really a little more difficult, walking and talking. Same time.
You want some gum to go along with that?
Don't want to push it.
Oh, okay.
Don't want to push it. Okay. From Burnt Store to Two Pines, what's going on there?
Honestly, mostly what I'm hearing about is the redfish along that whole bar there from the south island of Burnt Store Channel all the way down to Two Pines. Wade fishermen, kayak fishermen, boaters, they're mostly ranting and raving about the redfish there. Had a few mixed reports of some flounder mixed in out there in some of those nice sand holes, and especially right on top of the bar at Burnt Store. other than that, it's been pretty quiet. The snook that they've been catching there have been peanuts mostly. You know, but a lot of guys excited about it. Plus, you got to fight some of the guys down there for the schools of redfish, which I just don't enjoy. You know, 5-6 boats sitting there playing ping pong with the fish and screaming at you if you happen to come even within 100 yards of them.
Yeah, but that's pretty much common for fishing guides, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So
just gets old sometimes because you feel bad for a lot of the people that actually just want to go out and have a good time.
Well, the problem is I don't think the average person, or especially the people who just come down, would have any idea that the guys are playing ping pong with the schools of redfish. That would be a completely foreign idea to anybody, that okay, the redfish are going up along here, and then this boat cast into them catches one, the school turns around and goes the opposite direction back where they were coming from, and then a boat down there disrupts them in their thing by, you know, hooking a couple, and the school goes, okay, go back the other way, and they turn around and they head back again. And that's why we call it playing ping pong, because they'll come up against a boat and somebody catching them there, so the school turns around and goes away from them and runs back into that other boat again, then turns around and goes back, and they literally play ping pong. And all an average person would see is two boats spaced out and think, well, I can go fish between those two guys.
Right.
Not having any idea that they would even be, it wouldn't even be a thought in their mind that, you know, these guys were playing ping pong with a school of redfish. And it's not really fair. We ought to have, like, flags up with ping pong paddles, you know.
Something.
So that you know, don't get between us. Instead of just screaming and yelling, going, what are you doing, you freaking idiot? Because they're not. They're not.
They're just naive. They just need to be educated. Hey, whoa, stop.
You know.
Wait a minute.
I'm not even sure that would be one of my first thoughts. If I saw a guy there on the bar and a guy here on the bar.
Yeah.
That, okay, I want to fish in that area. So, well, I'll try and, you know, pick a spot in the middle, stay out of everybody's way. Yeah. I'm not sure that would be in my mind.
I'm the same way. I agree.
So, you know, it's a lot of what I always notice whatever, if somebody's being discourteous, that word means that's something other people do.
Yeah.
It's not the mistake you made. Like, I came around a corner one time and there was a boat there, and I was going pretty good clip because it was very, very shallow. Me and four other people on the boat trying to not run aground, so I had to kick it a little bit just to keep going through there, trying to judge how fast I was going by, you know, what was safe speed to travel versus if I went any slower, I'm going to hit bottom.
And
be stuck right there. And came around the corner, there's a boat there, and he was screaming at me. I'm like, I didn't know. You know, you don't have, like, a marker around the corner. Like, when somebody's working on the road and you're going around the curve, before the curve, they put up men working here or, you know, people working.
I was on a flag waver standing on the corner of the bush to wave me around.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't hit you. Everybody, you know, it was all safe. There was no, you know, close quarters outside. I ran over your fish, but...
Right.
You're fishing in a spot where I have to go through if I'm going to get from A to B.
Yeah.
It's not, the only other choice was literally 3/4 mile away. So, you know, sometimes discourteous is what other people do, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. But it's never quite, when you do it, it's just, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And when somebody else does it, you jerk, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go up the east side of the harbor. Anything going on the east side?
Yeah, there's redfish scattered along all the little islands up along there. And also out on the flats and even that little, I guess, the little trough that runs along the entire east side there. There's just redfish kind of scattered everywhere along there. It seems to be better concentrated from Pirate Harbor just to... I guess Cormorant Key seems to be the heavier concentrations of fish, but guys are catching them up and down the whole thing. Getting a few mixed reports of some trout, but most of them are on the smaller side. And then there's been a few legal snook being caught over there, but that's even been kind of, mediocre. Most of them have been little peanut snook. But guys are still having a good time. And the water is starting to clear up over there from what a customer was saying yesterday. So that's always a good sign. Like you were saying earlier, you get to kind of see the bottom rather than kind of guessing the bottom. It's always a good thing to be able to kind of see where you're going through that area.
Oh, yeah. The only time I don't like clear water is when I'm in a tower boat going across the flats.
Right, exactly.
When I'm up in that tower and the water's crystal clear and I'm in 12, 14 inches of water, it looks like you're riding on sand.
Yeah.
I mean,
the optical delusion is kind of terrifying.
Oh, yeah. The first time I rode in a tower boat across the flats, real low tide, and we're just skimming across.
I was white-knuckled the entire time myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I was holding on for dear life, going, oh, crap, I'm going to get launched out of this thing.
I mean, it really does.
You're fine. We're in, like, 14 inches of water. No, it doesn't look like that to me.
Yeah, it looks like we're in 3 inches of water.
I thought I saw the way up there. I thought I saw the ankle on that egret standing there.
And people, if you're going to run the flats back here, number one, idle where you want to go the first time. Make sure you understand how the bottom is, how deep everything is. Make sure it's safe to run in, because if you don't know where you're going, following somebody else is just big problems. Because yeah. What if their boat runs skinnier than yours? What if they know more than you do? All these things come into play.
Absolutely.
And I've literally run aground because I was 4 feet outside of where I had to be.
Yeah.
And the dumbest part about it is I knew where I had to be. I just misjudged it by 4 feet, ended up aground. So being slow, careful, learning your way around. And once you know, then you're running and, you know what your boat can do and all that. But I can tell you, you couldn't have drove a stick pin up there with a sledgehammer my first time out there in the flats in that tower when I first put the tower on my boat.
Yeah.
That was, wow. All right, Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek, mostly everything I'm hearing about is right at the mouth. There's been some good redfish there, some really nice-sized jacks coming through there, a few pompano and an oddball flounder, but it's all been real heavily concentrated right there at the mouth of it. Yeah, I haven't heard anything up inside like Burnt Store Isles or Poacher's Cut area. It's just been all right there at the entrance.
Okay, that takes us into the PGI canals. What's going on in there?
PGI canals have been a little funky the last couple of days.
Punta Gorda Isles.
Punta Gorda Isles.
Oh, Punta Gorda. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Messed it up. Punta Gorda Isles. Okay. What's going on in the canals of Punta Gorda Isles?
A lot of juvenile tarpon throughout the entire area.
All you Spanish-speaking people are laughing your butts off right now.
Yes.
For the rest of you English-speaking people, you just thought it was cute.
Okay. Yeah. The mouths of the canals seem to be a little bit more concentrated with the juvenile tarpon, but some of those way back even in the bird section are pretty loaded up. A couple guys that are catching a few legal snook and a whole lot of small snook trolling through the canal systems as they're coming out. Been still some black drum back in there in pretty good numbers. And then the jacks have started to move in a little bit more. I'm starting to get some more reports of guys seeing little schools of jacks busting through, which is always a pretty cool thing to see, you know, because we've got quite a few new customers lately that have just recently moved down and they've never really witnessed that feeding frenzy of jacks. Yeah. And they come and try to describe what they're seeing and they don't know what it is.
Yeah. And the water's just exploding, you know. I guess if you want to put in real redneck terms, we're out there and it looked like somebody was shooting a 50 caliber machine gun through the water out there.
Right.
I'll tell you what, by God, it was just amazing. There are fish jumping and the water just boiling. And, I mean, it's really true. It's amazingly true.
I tell them it sounds like a jacuzzi that you just kicked on high speed because it kind of has that gurgling water and the sloshing water and it just starts to get all white and foamy and it's just kind of cool.
If you just turned on a jacuzzi and you got it on high and then you had somebody standing there with a canoe paddle slamming the water with it every once in a while.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of close.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of neat.
Definitely makes your blood pound a little bit. You know, you see that and it's just boosh and all the splashing of boosh and, you know, it's really something.
Yeah.
One of the things and when you have customers on your boat and, you know, two or three of them hook up and they're going, what do we do? I said, wait for two people to break off and we'll chase the other one down and land it.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
What else do you do? Okay. What's going on in Ponce? Anything?
Ponce has just been a few black drum and some mangrove snapper there, but nothing. I haven't heard anything super exciting there in the last several days. I think it's kind of exceptionally quiet, really, for what usually is going on there.
Alright.
You know, it's just, I don't know, I think the weather, I think it's just been funky over there for people. Usually it's happening a little bit better, at least more consistent reports of bad, good, or indifferent, but this week's been a little quiet.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. You know.
Your brain said one thing, your fingers said something else.
Oh, absolutely staggers me, you know, how I'm thinking one thing and type something completely different. Okay, Gilchrist Pier.
I have not heard of anything this week at Gilchrist.
All right. Alligator Creek Reef.
The Alligator Creek Reef on the southern end of the reef. I've been getting a couple reports of some big Spanish mackerel around it. A few mangrove snapper and kind of a mixed gamut of some sharks, but mostly on the smaller size. But on the north end of the reef, that whole area from the north end of the reef up to Mangrove Point over towards Alligator Creek, tarpon have been there. Really good numbers the last several days. A handful of customers in, pretty excited about it. If you can get a ladyfish, which has been tough, if you find a ladyfish, they're crushing it. But other than that, the guys are just winging it, throwing the storm swim baits and the DOA bait busters, even some of the big hoagies, and just trying that out to get them to hit. Because those fish over there have been in that same kind of like that Eljo Bean pattern. It's been those 50 to 130 pound fish over there.
Gotcha. Okay, what's going on in Deep Holes out in the harbor?
Crickets. there's been a few Spanish mackerel out there, a couple bigger size Spanish, and a lot of smaller guys. And that's really about all I've honestly heard over there. Usually you hear about all the catfish and everything else, but it's just been Spanish that I've heard about.
Okay, where would you find any kind of bait anywhere?
Honestly, Placida, Jug Creek, and the beaches has been where most of your bait has been concentrated as far as white bait goes. Your pinfish have been the most dominant thing out there, and they're not big pinfish by any stretch. They're like
where?
3 inches. They're on Jug Creek, Pirate Harbor area, starting to get a little bit better with some bigger pinfish. And then the flat between Cape Hayes and Devilfish, especially if you move out into like 4 or 5 feet of water, those guys have been getting some better pinfish there. It's been overall kind of quiet though.
I haven't heard anything about threadfins.
Nothing.
Not in the harbor, not in the Gulf, not anywhere.
I haven't heard of any good bait out there in like 2 weeks at least. You know, 2 weeks ago I was hearing about, you know, scaled Spanish sardines, some thread fins, and cigar minnows right after that storm came through.
Yep.
But that's it. It's just like all of a sudden disappeared. Now it's just little fry that's out there. That's why those bonita and stuff are in so close.
Okay, what are we hearing about freshwater?
Freshwater bluegill have really started to turn on lately. Quite a few guys coming in excited about some of their bigger bluegill.
Better canals, ponds?
Pretty much all the canal systems, especially like 9 Mile Canal. Been hearing some better reports about that. Some of the Northport canals, hearing some guys bluegill fishing up there. They're even, several guys have come in and have been catching tilapia too, so they must be in that funky little feed pattern where they're actually eating worms. You know, they always
see T-A-L-I-P-H-A?
A-P-A.
T-A-L-I-A-P...
T-A-L-I-A-P-A. Is that right? How am I doing today?
Okay, I have no idea. And Mayans, I'm going to assume. Heard anything Mayan cichlids?
Yeah, I'm give up on it.
Yeah, how about Mayan
the Mayan
cichlids?
The Mayan cichlids, mostly in the upper Peace River, I've been hearing about them.
Okay. Tilapia...
Just the tilapia and bluegill been the most exciting thing for the guys. I know there's been a few Mayan cichlids here and there, but most of those I've been hearing about have been in the Peace.
You know, I've been asked 8 times in the last few days about my favorite crappie lure. What should I take for crappie?
Yeah.
I'm going to add crappie to this because there should not be a really good crappie bite going on.
No.
But I'm getting the idea there is. 8 times different people have come up to me and said, you know, what do I need for crappie? What should I be doing for crappie? And so my number one is a beetle spin. Number two would be an inline spinner. I forget the names of the ones we have out there. And number three is the little rattle trap. And then number four is the tiny Rapala, which could be number three and number four could be reversed. They're kind of a toss-up between the little rattle trap and the tiny, tiny Rapalas that we sell.
Yeah.
But I got a hunch there's some crappie fishing out there. Nobody asks me about crappie unless they're crappie fishing.
Right.
It could be they're prepping because the other morning it was 75 degrees when I woke up.
Right.
And I think it was actually closer to 70. And, you know, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I think it was around 70 degrees. It did get very hot that day. But there is some chance the crappie bite has started. And I would bet against it. But 8 people? That's a lot of people asking me about crappie stuff.
Yeah.
So what's going on with bass?
I haven't heard of any bass at all this week, honestly. Couple guys have gone, but I haven't had any feedback on them.
I had people talking to me about frogs, and
we've sold quite a few frogs this past week, but I just haven't had anyone come back in and say that they're whacking them good. So
frogs and shiners are what people have been coming in, you know, we're going bass fishing, hearing more about frogs and shiners.
Yeah.
Don't really know how good the bass fishing is. Saw a guy catch one on King's Highway the other day in the ponds on King's Highway. It didn't look very big, but it was a bass.
Right.
Been hearing about it scattered around the area here and there. Nothing big on the bass fishing wise yet. A lot of people come in and ask how to rig wacky worms.
Yeah.
Now, I think those are a lot of the people from some of the developments that have a lot of, you know, little ponds around the golf courses or whatever in some of the housing developments. But a lot of questions about wacky rigs and, you know, purple worms, wacky rigged.
Right.
So there is something going on about around there.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, you know, the guys have been buying some stuff, just haven't had anyone tell me they're cleaning house or even catching a few. Amazing how goofy and well that wacky worm works too, you know? I mean, who would have ever thought? You know, that was somebody with their kid or something. I'll bet you it just rigged it up and threw it out there and started cleaning house on fish. And he said, oh, wait a minute, that looks like a good idea.
Yeah.
Because who would have stickled?
Just stuck it in there, you know, in the middle of the worm and didn't know what they were doing, threw it out, started catching fish. And somebody else sees them, you know, how are you catching all those fish? And you're, well, I'm just using a plastic worm here, you know. And the guy sees it, goes, well, that's all wrong, but, gee, wait a minute, he's catching a lot of fish.
Yeah, I'm doing it the right way, and I haven't caught anything yet.
Yeah, maybe the wrong way is the right way.
Right.
So, okay. So, anyway, we got that. I think that wraps up that part of the fishing report. Is anything else you can think about?
Not really. You know, this is the time of year, take every type of rod and reel with you, because stuff's changing. It's going to be like this for the next easily month or two, depending on our cold fronts that theoretically might start coming down.
I haven't heard anything about
cool
fronts or anything. I've been watching, you know, news and all the rest of this stuff, but I've only been keeping a mild eye on the weather because it's kind of boring right now. I'll give you the weather report for this next week. It's going to be hot. It's going to rain sometime during the day, and there'll probably be a chance of lightning.
Mm-hmm. There'll be a chance of humidity, too.
And it's going to be very humid. Humidity. Humidity.
Nice, I like
yes.
that.
So, you know, okay, there's your weather report. This isn't the
for
time
at least
here.
The next 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, at least for the next few days. You know, they make a big deal out of, you know, this is it. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's Florida. And there's no tropical storms coming, so I'm sorry. There's nothing exciting, you know. If there's not a tropical storm coming, you get a chance of rain during the day. And if it doesn't rain, it's going to be really hot.
Right.
And if it rains a little too early, it's going to be just a steam bath. You know, if it rains perfectly around that, you know, 5-6 o'clock in the evening, everything cools down nice and it's a beautiful night and everything's 10 degrees cooler.
Yeah.
But if it rains at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, steam bath.
Yeah.
You don't want to be outside.
Right.
You know, it's just a nightmare. But you know, that pretty much wraps up your weather report for the next few days. So, yeah, I know what the... Anyway, so I guess that's it. You can't think of anything else. I think we're going to do a... we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we will come back with talking about tarpon. And there's going to be a pretty quick show, I think.
Yeah.
But what you could do for me is get on the phone and see if we can talk to any of the captains about what's going on with the tarpon.
Okay.
And that would be a great way to do the next segment, because we got to update the tarpon maps and see if you can get a hold of, I'd say, either Brian Ball or maybe Brian. I'll call Tom Fisher and see what he's doing on a... But those guys are usually pretty steady into that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, we'll be back with that on the next edition of Radio Fishing. And for now, let's see. No, I think we can. Let me just get this and go. Oh, there it is. Always makes me talk a little funky when I hear the guitar. So, I was actually working with Josh the other night. I'm working on more rhythms like this, and it was funny because I equate it with some of the older artists, but he thinks of it as George Thorogood, you know. So right. Anyway, having a lot of fun playing music, and Fishing Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and this has been Radio Fishing, and thank you boys and girls for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.